Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Kathy Caldwell. Kathy Caldwell, CCHT-CADC2, asked for a sign during a mystery illness 20 years ago, which led her to the wonderful healing tool of symbolic guided imagery. She uses guided imagery and hypnotherapy in her private practice in Newport Beach, California, as well as with groups and individuals in substance use treatment centers in Orange County. She loves teaching healing professionals these subtle yet powerful tools to assist and empower their clients, and is passionate about guiding others to discover, connect with, and utilize their own inner wisdom. Kathy is the author of the Guided Imagery Handbook, which I am a proud owner of, and I would recommend that as a resource for anybody that is interested in exploring the world of guided imagery and wants to find out how to utilize that effectively with their clients. So with that, Kathy, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It is a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's get right into it. Tell us about the sign that you received during your mystery illness, which led you into the world of guided imagery.
Okay, I'll preface that by saying that I got ill. My body just simply crashed. I lost 20 pounds very quickly. I was weak. I was in a lot of pain. Didn't know what was wrong with the many doctors. So my whole life had changed. I couldn't work. And at my very worst point, I was laying in bed one night trying to distract myself from the pain, and I was reading a book, and just simply turning the pages was so excruciatingly painful that I just broke down sobbing. And in that moment, I had a serious talk with God. I did some bargaining with God and said, please, God, if I'm going to die, then this is how it is. Okay, take me. But if I'm not, and if there's a purpose for the way I feel right now, then please, please just give me a sign and I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do from that sign. And so the night went on, and all that happened was I was, you know, waiting for something and trying to get through my pain. And the song kept repeating over it, like when you hear a jingle and it just won't go away. So I was almost irritated by it. So this jingle keeps going on and on, this, not jingle, but the actual song. And when the sun came up in the morning, it was still happening. And I realized, it dawned on me literally, that, well, maybe this is my sign. It's the song. And I realized that I had heard this song many years before at this spiritual gathering that I went to. And I thought, maybe that's where I'm supposed to go. Maybe I need to go to that place and just go there, see what happens. And my mother and mother-in-law were there helping me because I was ill. And so I begged them to take me to this place. And they said, you know, you're too sick. You don't need to do this. I said, no, no, I have to go. I have to go to this place. And so I did. And lo and behold, you know, I got there. I decided this, I feel like I belong here. There's a reason I'm here. I kept going and I met a woman there who discussed guided imagery with me. She was a guided imagery therapist. And the minute that I heard the words, I knew what it was. It was something that I'd really been doing my entire life, naturally. And the minute she said it, I thought, that's it. That's the next thing I need to do. And that I knew that I could do that. And I knew it was a career for me, that it was my path, was something natural. So I did. I got into a class in college and had to really fight my way in because it was late. And I went and talked to the chancellor, and he did not want me to get into that. He just said, we cannot do this. We can't. But I fought really hard, and I did get into the class, and that was the beginning for me. And the beginning of my healing also, because what it turned out to be was that I didn't find out until I was completely into my hypnotherapy and guided imagery career, which I find interesting because I was fully engaged then in it. And that's when I found out what was wrong with me. And what was wrong with me was that I had heavy metals in my body. So that was great because I found a way to heal that also. But in the meantime, just doing what I was doing, being a hypnotherapist, doing guided imagery, was healing every time I worked with a client. It was also healing for me because it lowers your blood pressure. It pacifies the limbic system. It lowers your heartbeat, and, you know, it's a wonderful healing tool. So that was my journey. So.
That is a fascinating story in terms of just the amount of serendipity that was involved in leading you to that sacred place, and also the universe manifesting and opening up to show you your true passion. And I am very aware of the benefits of guided imagery. I mean, it really does a lot to mitigate the stress response. And I think it fits in with a lot of other holistic practices, such as yoga, such as meditation, that I think does all of that. And I'm a firm believer that if we can integrate holistic practices into our existing core belief system, it just improves our quality of life so much and complements what Western medicine cannot effectively do by itself. Tell our viewers what the difference is between guided imagery and meditation.
There's quite a difference, actually. Meditation, you're basically focusing on one thing normally. You might focus on a candle, you know, to go into meditation. You're clearing your mind. Sometimes it's, we're just going to focus on peace or mindfulness and just watch your thoughts. So it's more passive in that way. Whereas in guided imagery, it's literally what it says it is. A person is guiding another person into their imagination and using the five senses. So you're seeing, hearing, sensing, smelling, and feeling things within this journey that you take them on. And when fMRIs are done of the brain, when we imagine, they look exactly the same as when we're actually performing an activity. So the subconscious and the body doesn't know the difference between imagining and doing something in reality. So that makes hypnosis and guided imagery wonderful tools, you know, for relaxing the body and creating very relaxing scenes and experiences. So you can create a guided imagery specifically for one person and what they need. So it's just a great tool.
Is hypnosis separate from guided imagery, or is that a part of the process? Or when do you know when to use both?
I normally use both most all of the time. When I'm doing groups in treatment centers, I'm just using guided imagery. And the difference is this. Hypnosis is an umbrella over guided imagery where you use many different techniques. But this is the definition that I use for hypnosis. Hypnosis, in its simplest term, is guiding another person into relaxation using your voice and giving them suggestions, post-hypnotic suggestions.
Yep.
With guided imagery, you are just leading someone into their own subconscious mind and their imagination for them to discover and connect with their own inner wisdom.
And
does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. How many different types of guided imageries are there? What specific types of categories can you use guided imagery for?
Oh, my goodness. It's always endless because the imagination is endless, right? It's unlimited. But the types of imagery, there's psychological imagery where it's a lot is based on discovery. There's cellular imagery where we're going into the cells and imagining the cells doing this or that. There's physiological imagery where you're saying, you're giving the body instructions, you know, to calm. There's feeling state imagery where you're changing maybe an anxious state to a relaxed state. There's spiritual imagery where you're connecting a person, where you're connecting a person with their guide or their spiritual belief systems, their higher power. I might have forgotten one or two up there, but that kind of gives you an idea of how many different ways you can go. There are many reasons that you do guided imagery. So,
and obviously when a client comes to see you, you tailor the imageries that you use based on their specific needs or presenting problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether, you know, if it's relationships or if it's confidence, if it's learning how to relax or fear, you know, yeah, I tailor. Everything is client-centered and tailored to what they need. Yes.
I know you have done a lot of work in substance abuse agencies with clients who have substance use issues. So my question for you is, what have been the benefits that they have reported to you after you've taken them through a guided imagery session or a series of guided imagery sessions?
Oh, I love to talk about this because they are many. They get very excited, number one. The thing that I hear most is, I didn't know I could do this. I can't meditate. I haven't been able to relax. And in guided imagery, they've been able to relax, number one. They've been able to imagine. And the wonderful thing also is they say that they'll often connect with a higher power that they didn't know they had, or maybe something from their past that they didn't connect with then that they're connecting with now. In other words, some people will say, oh my gosh, Jesus came to me. And I was a Christian when I was little, but I don't believe that anymore, but Jesus came to me. And they will have tears in their eyes. They will be very, very touched. And whatever needs to happen for them, and I always tell them there is no right or wrong in imagery. Whatever you see is what you're meant to see. I am only programming the beginning of the imagery to relax them, and the rest of the imagery I'm leaving as open as possible so that they fill it in. Their subconscious will fill it in with the details that they need to see and experience. So, some of them many of them say they wait all week to do guided imagery because it calms and relaxes them. And one of the most important things that I've heard also is it feels so good for them to receive information from their own subconscious, from themselves, and know that they do have that inner wisdom that they can connect to instead of taking orders from people, which in rehab they're doing all day long, day after day. So that I think that's empowering for them.
And I would agree. And the fact that they can make that type of spiritual connection, that they, we talk about individuals with substance use issues having a spiritual awakening, which which contributes to them wanting to do things differently, to look at ways to embrace a drug-free lifestyle. And there's a couple of things that struck me with your answers. And one, guided imagery could be a way that individuals can connect with something greater than themselves, but also experience after-death communication from a spiritual deity, a loved one. I can also imagine that when they sense a loving presence, they begin to love themselves even more, and they see the inherent good in them, because they are so often just plagued by low self-esteem, and they've turned to substance use to deal with that, in addition to the fact that there's a strict psychological and a physical dependency on the substance. But a lot of times they don't see their inherent worth, and they are more than their addiction. These are individuals that are extremely gifted. And if guided imagery can help them touch that part of themselves that the substances have repressed, I think it's a great thing. And I think it's, and I could see where, I could almost envision where the light bulbs in their eyes are getting bigger and say, wow, this is something that I've needed for a long time.
Yeah, they get very excited about it and enthusiastic about it. And even, you know, I have forgiveness imageries also where they meet themselves and, you know, have a little discussion with themselves in dialogue. And that's very helpful also. But they, they're very grateful for guided imagery. And they, and I've had many people tell me later on that they continued it afterwards, after they leave treatment. So that's really nice to know that, that, you know, and they know that it's available to them. And most of all, I think the most important thing is that it reconnects them with their authentic self. Because they've forgotten who they're, you know, they've been out of touch with their authentic self. So that's really important too. Yeah.
And I would also see that a regular practice of guided imagery would also heighten an individual's intuitive ability, where they're more receptive to messages from a variety of different sources and inclined to confidently act on those messages.
Absolutely. And you know, what you had mentioned before about connecting with people who have passed, that happens in groups sometimes where they're, might be their grandparent or their parent, their mother. And it's very, very touching, and it brings all of the group together in support of them too. And a lot of them haven't grieved a death. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't, they've been under drugs and alcohol and have been pushing it down. So sometimes that's extremely moving for them. And then the next time I see them, they might say, you know what, I can feel them around me now. You know, they feel connected to that person and feel like they can get in touch with them also.
And I think when they're able to share that in a group environment, it increases their ability to be vulnerable, to feel safe, to begin to trust. And I'm always a firm believer that that experience that they have shared is going to somehow benefit somebody else in that group.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You see eyes light up in groups when, they have calming experiences.
In the last few years of my work as an addictions counselor, I got referrals specifically for grief counseling for individuals with substance use issues. And one of the things that I had discovered is that unresolved grief, or grief that was disenfranchised in that group of individuals, contributed more often than not to continued relapse. And once we were able to create an atmosphere where they could tell stories about their losses, make their losses valued and heard, and giving them some specific tools to work with, that were not necessarily mainstream or evidence-based, you could see the transformation almost immediately.
Right.
And it was like the missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. No, that's the absolute truth. I have seen that. And it's a great thing to just be part of that. It's really nice.
I could see guided imagery working very well with an evidence-based practice like cognitive behavioral therapy, where with cognitive behavioral therapy, obviously, it's about taking a look at beliefs that have kept us in a self-defeating pattern of behavior and modifying those beliefs.
Right. And another thing about guided imagery that we haven't discussed yet is that you can use it as rehearsal of the mind. You know, you can literally take someone through a behavior or an experience that they're going to have and have them see it, feel it, experience it, and feel confident about it. And then bring other confidences that they already have and use those, utilize those within that. So, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That can be, guided imagery can be, it can augment so many other therapies.
Yeah, and as I've gotten older, I'm a firm believer that there are many holistic therapies that can augment evidence-based therapies. So, and I'm, my philosophy has become truly integrative. You mentioned earlier some of the research that's been done on the benefits of guided imagery promoting physical and mental well-being. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that? I know you talked about, you know, in terms of its mitigation of the stress response. Is there anything else that your research has indicated or that you have found your clients to have benefited from?
Well, I think it's just the entire healing response. Also surgeries. Blue Shield, back in, God, as far back as the year 2000, they found that when they gave guided imagery recordings to their surgery patients, that they saved $2,000 per patient. That they healed faster, they healed better. So they began, now they provide guided imagery recordings to all of their surgery patients. So when it comes down to money and you know, the medical facilities, you know, if they see that that's worthwhile, and that proves a point that it really is helpful.
Yeah, particularly in a society now where businesses have to be conscious of the bottom line, that type of savings would be significant. And when you look at the number of patients that they deal with per year, that ends up being a significant savings that they could channel into some other aspect of patient care or staff development. Another technique I know that had been thought to work very well with individuals with substance use issues, it was acupuncture. And we had been looking at our facility in terms of implementing an acupuncture track for individuals with substance use disorders, but we couldn't do it because the cost was prohibitive. So I think organizations, businesses, healthcare facilities need to really take a deep look at these practices and see how they can best integrate them within the resources that they have.
Definitely. I agree.
So the Guided Imagery Handbook, it's a wonderful tool. I have read it. I have shared it with my students in the Care of the Human Spirit class as a recommended resource for them to explore the world of guided imagery. Tell me what inspired its creation and who is your target audience for your book?
I wrote it. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. I wrote it because my students and my clients were continually asking me where they could find imageries because they loved it so much. They said, where can I find this? Can I do this for myself? And of course, you can go online and find guided imageries. But I started writing my own imageries for certain clients. And I wanted to add those to the ones that I was also collecting. So that was basically the reason that I started gathering them. And then I realized I had a book. I had a book there ready to go. And I wanted to keep it very simple so that everyone could use it. So my target audience, it's everyone, but because everyone can do guided imagery. But technically, I would say therapists, guided imagery therapists, hypnotherapist, and I got this problem in my throat, excuse me. hypnotherapist, oh my gosh, Reiki and yoga instructors. They come to my classes. I actually have taught Reiki practitioners and yoga instructors. Who else? Music therapy. People in music therapy have used my book. Gosh, have I left anybody out? And just, you know, people in general. I know some people in my family that literally sit around the table. They after dinner and will choose a simple imagery to do with their kids because it starts some great conversations.
And it also has a calming effect on children, too. I mean, we know that the benefits of meditation activities for children that have ADHD or mindfulness activities for children that have ADHD. So any type of imagery or meditative activity has got to have a calming effect.
Absolutely. And it does. Yes. I've done it with my young cousins and they just love it. I do a lot of animal imagery with them because they find that so fun and interesting. So, but it is calming for them.
Tell me a little bit about one animal imagery that you do and how that's structured.
Okay. The beauty of animal imagery, I love it because no matter whether people love animals or not, they still connect with animals, whether they know it or not. Mm-hmm. I think it's ancient. I think it's just within us, within our DNA. And it brings up subjects and things that you might ordinarily not talk about through the animal and the animal's behavior and what that animal represents to them. So here's one imagery would be animal as joy. An animal could represent anything to you. I could name anything. I could say an animal as joy, and this animal appears in front of you. An animal that represents addiction. An animal that represents joy and sobriety. It could be a feeling. It could be a absolutely anything. It's endless what an animal can represent. And there's one particular that is a really fun imagery. It's animal from head and stomach. And you imagine that an animal comes out of your head that stands in front of you, and you have a little dialogue with that. What do you like best about this animal? What do you like least? Just watch the animal for a moment. See what they do. What qualities does this animal have? And what condition is the animal in? There are lots of questions that what size is the animal? Because if the animal is very, very large, the larger that something appears in guided imagery, the bigger the message is. It's big in your life if you see a very, very large animal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you dialogue with it, it will become smaller, because it's been listened to and you're paying attention to a part of yourself that needs attention. So as you speak to it, it becomes normal size, let's say. So all of those things have meaning in guided imagery. So just to continue on with this imagery, you talk to this animal that comes out of your head, then an animal comes out of your stomach, and you have the same conversation with it. Then you watch both animals interact. You just let them have a spontaneous interaction together. and see what they do. And the gist of this imagery is that the animal from your head relates to your thinking and your intellect, and the animal from your stomach, your gut, is your emotions. So you watch how these animals interact, and it's really fascinating because sometimes when people are really in conflict with themselves, the animals will not want to do anything to do with one another. Maybe in nature, there are animals that don't like one another much, and other animals play and have a wonderful time. But either way, each animal gives a message to the person who is doing the imagery. And it sounds very simple, but it's really profound. And people get great information from their own wisdom from that imagery.
And I would think just the symbolism with animals in and of itself is probably very powerful and very insight stimulating or insight provoking. And also, I was thinking we were talking about one part of an animal representing our thoughts, the other representing our emotions. You can kind of get a pictorial and visual description of how our thoughts feed our emotions and how our emotions feed our thoughts. And that could be a really, you know, great after session in terms of tell me what you learned from the imagery. And they start talking about that. And the other thing is if they watch how the animals interact, if they watch their habits, if they watch, how they attend to their environment, that could also give them some rich tools that they can utilize in their own lives to maybe be more aware, to be more mindful of, especially if we're talking about addiction, specific relapse triggers or stimuli in the environment that could trigger relapse. So it's just a great tool, I think. And many of us are visual learners anyway, Kathy, we can benefit more from a visual imagery than we can talking about an imagery or talking about a scenario.
Yes, yes. And when people, when I'm teaching guided imagery, I always tell my students that if a person isn't as visual, you just go into the feeling, you just say, how does this feel to you? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it feel like to be with this? Most people, however, I found, get into the visual either way. They just do. They see things. Because we use our imagination all day, from the moment that we wake up in the morning, we are imagining, we're imagining getting out of bed. We have to imagine getting out of bed before we do it. Mm-hmm. So it's just, everyone knows how to imagine. So when people say, I don't know if I can do this. So I say, well, why don't you just, let's just do it. And then you decide. But it's a great tool.
It is, and we can use our mind and brain. It has so many capabilities that we don't even tap into. And I can see where guided imagery can empower us to tap into that unlimited potential, thought potential, visualization potential, and also, just to give us a greater, more rounded and informed perspective of the universe and our role in it.
Right.
What type of training does anybody need to do if they want it to be proficient in guided imagery? What are there certification programs out there? Are there training programs? Can you tell us just a little bit about those?
Sure. You don't need a degree to do guided imagery. There are trainings all over the United States. You can look in your local area, see if any of your colleges teach guided imagery to begin to get, to become proficient. And of course, I always tell people, you just keep learning and keep learning. If they're serious about it and they're interested in it, they will continue learning. And of course, you can go online. And there are online classes. There are online organizations like Imagery International is one. There's AGI, the Academy for Guided Imagery in Los Angeles, and they do online also. And I teach in-person classes face-to-face also. But you can be certified, and many people are augmenting what they're already doing. Say they could be a you know, a teacher, a chiropractor, a Reiki person, therapist, nurses. Yes. So, no, you don't, anyone can look into guided imagery, learn it and utilize.
That sounds great. When I've been taken through a guided imagery, it's had a lot of positive benefits for me. Tell me and tell our viewers, give us one or two takeaways from your experiences that can help individuals in their own challenges.
Okay. Well, the first one, it's always for me, follow your intuition. You know, it will lead you. There's a reason you have it. It's a God-given gift in my book. It's within you. And trust that. You have to move forward, of course, and don't give up. I know, well, I wouldn't even be here talking with you if I hadn't followed that sign that I got about going to that spiritual gathering that that I did. So it would definitely be about trusting yourself, trusting the wisdom within you and connecting with it, you know, finding ways to connect with that inner wisdom within you. Definitely that. And let's see, anything else that I wanted to say, that know that you have purpose. You have purpose, and whether you know it right now or not, ask for help, you know, in whatever way that is. Ask for help from others, take it, pray. If you pray, connect with that source, that power that is, to manifest what you want, that it is available to you and you can do it.
One of the things that struck me is when you talked about finding your purpose is a quote from one of my favorite books, if not my favorite book on the Afterlife of Billy Fingers by Annie Kagan. And one of the teachings in that book goes something like this, is you can't judge the value of anybody else's life, including your own. So we all have purpose. We all have a purpose in this world. And sometimes we don't think our purpose may be that significant, but it is significant to somebody and it will always be significant to somebody. Thank you for that, Kathy. And finally, if people want to get in touch with you, find out more about what you do, purchase your book, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, just get to my website. It's Hypnosis Solutions, just like it sounds, hypnosissolutions.net, not com, but net, like a fishnet. So it's hypnosissolutions.net, and my book, everything is available there. You can get.
And I will make sure that when this episode, the audio episode drops, it'll be in the program notes, and also for when the YouTube version drops, it'll be in the video details as well. So with that, Kathy, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be a valued contributor to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It was a pleasure having you on the program today.
It was a pleasure talking with you, Dave. It was really enjoyable.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. And with that is a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.